completed three courses of the 19 courses. So we have completed Surah Shuhara and we have begun with Surah Namal. The first surah that we decided to come was Surah An-Nur, which we completed. Surah An-Nur is a Madani surah that was revealed in Medina Munawwara. And the backdrop behind the revelation of the surah is commonly known. It is with regard to an accusation which was leveled against the mother of the believers and our mother, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, where some people had passed this aspersions with regard to her, that she had conducted herself in some illicit kind of behavior. Aisha radiallahu anha was completely unaware of this. Up until one day, she had gone out to respond to the call of nature, and she went with this person by the name of Ummi Mistah. And they both were walking, and it so happened that Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummi Mistah, she slipped. So upon slipping, she cursed. And she cursed her son, Mistah. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, SubhanAllah, why are you cursing your son? He's a Sahabi, he's such a great person, don't curse your son. So she said, Oh Aisha, my daughter, don't you know what he has said? So Aisha radiallahu anha said, no, I don't know. So Ummi Mistah then narrates this whole incident that, oh Aisha, you are so oblivious of what's happening around. You're in your home and you don't know, but people have spread a rumor with regard to you. With regard to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and another Sahabi, that she was involved in some kind of immoral act with this particular Sahabi, being the mother of the believers. The moment Aisha radiallahu anha heard this, her entire world was turned upside down. And she returns home and she falls ill. And for some time she's overcome with fever. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits her. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keeps his peace. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not utter much. And this rumor is spreading, and it's spreading like wildfire. And the munafiqeen and the hypocrites are taking this as an opportunity to spread this rumor even more so. And a few Muslims also get embroiled in this particular, rumor spreading. And my respected brothers and brothers, time goes on. Up until one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, whilst Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anha and the mother of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Hazrat Abu Bakr was the father of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, both of them were sat there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visits them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them that I need to put something to Aisha. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she's withered away, she's gone ill, and she is, she's overcome with what has been spread with regard to her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her this question. And my respected brothers and sisters, we can just think for a moment how damning this question must have been to her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her that, oh Aisha, if it is possible that you did get involved in this act which people are spreading rumors about, then agree to it and ask Allah for forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. And oh Aisha, if you were not involved in this act, then soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal your innocence. But these words were so strong, these words, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she took exception to these words. And she said to her father, she did not reply to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She turned to her father and she said to her father that you reply to him. You know me better, I'm your daughter. I'm your daughter, you reply. Can you imagine what this girl must have been going through, what our mother must have been going through? And her father looks at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he looks down. And then she looks at her mother and she says to her mother that you reply on behalf of me. You declare my innocence. Look at the question that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking me. He's asking me that if I was ever embroiled in it, I should just ask Allah for forgiveness. And that shows the justice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he did not say that this is my wife. This was the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the daughter of Abu Bakr, his greatest friend. Hazrat Amr bin As, radiallahu anhu, he once asked, when he just accepted Islam, and he came to the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, whenever I came to the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I never raised my gaze could never meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of being overawed with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But nonetheless, he said, whenever I came, I felt that I was the most beloved person to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every Sahabi, if you ask, every Sahabi will say, beloved, I was the most beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made each one of them feel. So Amr bin As, He felt that, okay, at this occasion here, let me ask. Let me ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just alone with him, let me ask Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the most beloved? So Nabi said, Amr bin As took up the courage and he said, O Rasul of Allah, who is the most beloved person to you? Without even, like we'll say, batting an eyelid, or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Aisha. He asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the most beloved person to you? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, without any hesitation, said, immediately said, Aisha. Aisha is the most beloved. And then he asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, who's next? Because maybe I can get a chance here. Right? So who's next? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, Abuha, her father. The Muhaddithin write that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say Abu Bakr. He didn't say, he could have said Abu Bakr. But he said, who is, first question, who is the most beloved? Aisha. Who is the second most beloved? Her father. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to include her also in second position. Her father. That means my love, I have love for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but I cannot forget my Aisha also. That is how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved, and that is how dear they were to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, my respected elders and brothers, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam poses this question, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does not say anything. And Aisha radiallahu anhu goes but she says to her father, you reply. And finally, when nobody replies on her behalf, she says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to Abu Bakr and to her father and to her mother, she says that I'm not going to reply to this question. Because if I do say that no, I am innocent, you are not going to believe me. And if I do say that no, I am guilty, then that's false. I leave my matter up unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I leave my matter up unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this occasion, she even took the name of Allah by swearing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But normally, whenever she would say anything which was dear to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, normal circumstances, then she would say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by that Allah who holds the life of Muhammad in his hand. But on this occasion, she said, I swear by Allah who holds the life of Ibrahim in his hands. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam detected that Aisha is upset with me. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept his peace. As she just replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses of the Quran. A surah, an entire surah, or well, the opening verses of the surah were revealed to exonerate Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and to completely clear her of this aspersion. And my respected elders and brothers, Allah used strong words in these against those people who went about spreading this rumor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to console her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. That O Aisha and O family who are, family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were affected by this here, the family of Abu Bakr were affected by this. Do not regard it as something bad that has happened to you. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. There is good in this for you. And what's the good in it? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha in the Quran, which will be read till the day of Qiyamah. So what can be greater than that? So if today there rises a group, or today there rises a people, who in any way cast any aspersion on our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, it will not do anything, it will not do anything to tarnish her image, because that image has already been cleared and it has been sparkled and it has been shined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So my respected elders and brothers, when Aisha radiallahu anha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses, then nonetheless the point that we can learn from here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives advice to those Muslims who got embroiled in it. A few Muslims also got embroiled in the rumor spreading. They did not start up this, but they spread this rumor. So Allah Ta'ala says, and this is in fact a lesson for us. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. When you heard this, and for that matter when we hear a rumor, and that rumor is with regard to doubt casting on another Muslim, then my respected brothers and brothers, our perception, or rather our modus operandi, the way that we deal with this should be that this person is completely innocent. He is completely innocent. A Muslim is completely innocent. Up until, of course, it is proven guilty. But we don't start with this notion that we find any kind of, you know, any kind of juicy news and we bite onto that juicy news without even verifying it. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ. As a believer, when you heard this, وَلَوْلَا, why is it not that as a believer, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. You call yourself a believer, believing man and a believing woman. But when you heard this, why did you not say that هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينَ. This is absolutely a lie, this is untrue, this is not true. That is the notion that you should have started off with this step, to say that this is absolutely untrue and we don't believe in it. Then another part of the verse, just a little later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. You went about spreading this rumor. You did not even verify it. First point is that when you hear the rumor, and for that, that's for us of course, when we hear a rumor with regard to somebody, a rumor which tarnishes a person's image, then the first step, my respected brothers and sisters, is to blot it out of our mind, to blot it out of circulation so that it does not circulate. And to start off on this notion that this person is absolutely innocent. Absolutely innocent. That's what we start off. Not the opposite. Today a person who we never see coming to the masjid, he comes for Jum'ah Salah, we'll cast this question. I wonder why he's here for Jum'ah. Something must have happened. A person we see him in the masjid, we normally never see such a person in the masjid. Look at this person and say, I think this guy's in trouble. I think he's got some court case against him. That's why he's here. We should start up already with a good thought with regard to somebody. Allah Ta'ala says, then if such a rumor is being spread, تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Allah says, when you spread that with your tongue, you went on saying this, you went on passing this rumor, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And you went around speaking with regard to something which you, with your mouth, which you had no knowledge about, you had no verification with regard to it. And then you said, no, it's only a rumor, well, okay, it's sorted out now. That's how we can think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. You take it to be something small, you took this rumor spreading, and this is of course a lesson for us, when we spread a rumor, we say, okay, well, it's okay now, alhamdulillah, the guy's name is clear now, it's okay. No, but we were part of that rumor mongering, and we spread that rumor, and we say, no, it's something small, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا, you regard this to be very light. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Whereas in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a major, major, major sin that we have done. Allah Ta'ala says a little further, سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is slander. You have in fact slandered a person without verification. So these are rules with regard to social etiquette in our life. That when anything of this nature happens, when any rumor begins to spread, and we get some kind of whiff of that rumor, then don't spread it. Don't grab onto juicy news and try and spread that juicy news, because my respected brothers and sisters, we might regard it as something very light, but at the end, it sometimes damages a person's image completely. And not only that, in the eyes of Allah, Allah says this is something very grave and very serious that we have committed. Then in the surah, because it's a Madani surah, there are many other laws which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, and many of these are with regard to social etiquette. One law, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that whenever you come to a person's home, whenever you come to a home which is not your home, and then always make salam and seek permission. Tasta'nisu, always make salam first, and ask for permission before entering. And when you come to a person's home, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that we seek permission 3 times. And after not getting an answer 3 times, then what do? We turn away from there. After not getting an answer, we stand there and we wait for, we receive permission 3 times, either we knock 3 times, we ring the bell 3 times, and thereafter, we return. And if we return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. If you are told to leave, in other words, you're not granted permission to enter, then leave. It is better and more purifying for you. These are the words of the Quran. More purifying for you, more cleansing for you. So there's a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, I used to go to people's house with some need sometimes, and I used to hope in the bottom of my heart that these people are not here. So that I could practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one. And so that when they are not there after knocking the 3rd time or after seeking permission for the 3rd time, when I return from there, I know that Allah has purified me, because Allah has said that if after 3 times you have knocked and then you are told to return and you have returned, Allah will purify you, or that is most purifying for you. Then I realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purified me. So that is with regard to social etiquette. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of the surah, end part of the surah, that when you enter your home, whenever you enter your home, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. Simple sunnah. Enter your home, say salam. سَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says upon your own people, the own people, your own inhabitants of the home. It's easy to make salam to big people. It's easy to make salam to people who are of high society. But my respected elders and brothers, we need to learn to make salam to even our own children when we enter our home. Instead of entering our home, you know, cursing and entering our home in any other way, enter our home with salam. By us entering our home with salam, we have drawn Allah's peace and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and barakah. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And if there is nobody in that home, then also we are given an instruction, the adab that is taught to us by our ulama, is that if you know for sure that there's nobody in your home, then say the salam when you enter your home. Salamun alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. May peace be upon us and all the pious servants of Allah, because there are pious servants living in your home. Now don't be frightened the next time you go to your home. I know there's nobody home, but I heard that there are pious servants lurking in my home. There's no pious servants lurking in your home. Make salam at home. And make salam. And through salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings love in our homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engenders love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes animosity. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and an instruction of the Quran. So whenever we go home, do salam. And my respected elders and brothers, over the last few weeks, Hazrat Maulana Shabir Sahib has been talking with regard to salam just before iftar. It's an important sunnah. And it's a sunnah which we need to adopt in our life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person came, what a beautiful answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Rasul of Allah, I meet a person, Rajulun, there's one person, يَلْقَى أَخَاهُ, he meets his brother. Who should make salam? Who should do salam first? Alright? Now normally if we talk of our, you know, all the little idiosyncrasies that rule our society, then we'll say, oh no, he's a young person, he should have adab, he should make salam to the older one. Alright? Or we say, this is a Chaudhary sir, he should make salam first to somebody who's low in status, they should be making salam. That's how we think about it, right? Now look at what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, are you a Qurayshi? You are a Muhajir? Okay, the Ansar should make salam to you first because you are more rightful. No. The Sahabi says, Rajulun yalqa akhahu. There's one brother, he meets his next Muslim brother. Should they first ask, which caste are you from? I can first find out who should make salam first. No. So he says, one brother meets his next Muslim brother. Who should make salam first? Look at the answer of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a beautiful answer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, he said, you ask who should make salam first? The person who is most close to Allah should make salam first. The person, awlahuma billahi, the person who is most close to Allah, he should make salam first. Alright? So which means who? You want to be close to Allah, you make salam. And you're the most closest to Allah, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who makes salam first, al-badi'u min as-salami, bari'u min al-kibr. The person who makes salam first, who offers the salam first, his heart is rid of any kind of takabbur and any kind of pride and ostentatiousness. And then my respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one verse I'll leave you with. So many things I would love to share with you, but one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah has promised you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those amongst you, مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have brought faith from amongst you, and those who have done good deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah will give you dominance on this earth, just like how He gave dominance to those who were before you. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمُ الَّذِي دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will firmly establish that deen, that Islam, that deen, that religion that we have come. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمُ الَّذِي دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. That deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you. وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And after this moment of fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change it into a moment of absolute peace. Now this verse was revealed with regard to Sahaba. The Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the early days of Medina, after they had migrated to Medina. They said that we used to wake up in the morning bil hadidi, and we used to go to sleep at night also bil hadidi. We used to wake up in the morning too with our weapons on us, and we used to sleep at night too with our weapons on us. And this became our usual habit because we feared there could be just any kind of an ambush upon Medina Munawwara, or there could be any attack upon Medina Munawwara, and we should be therefore ready at all times. So therefore we had no peace whatsoever. So one day one of these Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Rasul of Allah, when will that time come?" And one narration comes that it was Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. But he came and said, "When will that time come when we can at least live in peace?" Now my respected elders and brothers, okay, let me finish the story. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for some time, and Allah ta'ala revealed this verse that soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you dominance on this earth. Now today as Muslims, many a times we think about, okay, I think about it, maybe possibly you also think about it. We think about it, where is a place where at least a Muslim can go to and there will be no fear that somebody will even laugh at us. Sometimes we think, where is a place where I can go, this is my summer vacation that is coming, where is a place that as a Muslim I can go to and enjoy a holiday also, and enjoy a holiday with my family, while my family is completely in their hijab and in their niqab, and whilst I am dressed as a Muslim too, and there will be nobody who will look upon me as like I'm some kind of oddity or came from space or something. When will that day come, you know, where we will go around easily and we'll manage to purchase whatever we wish to, and there'll be no case of really looking whether this is really halal or haram, because everything will be halal. When will that day come? When will that day come when we will find it not difficult at all to dress as Muslims, not difficult at all to put on our musalla and perform salah wherever we are, not difficult at all to practice our Islam, not difficult at all to exhibit that Islam that we have in us and to manifest it and to show it and to display it unto, you know, the rest of people. When will that day come? When will that day come? And this thought sometimes creeps into my mind also. And sometimes we feel that, you know, when can the day come? We won't cringe at being Muslim. Sometimes you as a Muslim, you're walking in, you know, in certain environments and you find it difficult. You find that there's all eyes upon you. There's all eyes upon you, and you feel you're in an awkward moment. So when will that time come? My respected elders and brothers, in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that. That وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You continue with your faith and you continue doing your good deeds, continue, persevere. A day will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the deen established for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that dominance. Now my respected elders and brothers, we have an option here. We have an option of either doing what Allah ta'ala says, that is iman and a'malu salihah, or either we have an option of saying that when can we look for that dominance. Let us start looking for that dominance. Let us try and prove that dominance. Let us try and dig our heels in and try and find that dominance, or try and search for that, or try and demand that. And sometimes the state of even going to fight for that dominance. Let's go about and, you know, try and demand that dominance. Islam needs to be dominated. Islam needs to be dominant. Let's go and look for that. Remember, this dominance that Allah talks about is a promise of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to promise you. Upon what? If you continue persevering with iman and you continue persevering with good deeds, Allah promises you this. So it is maw'ud, because Allah begins the verse with wa'ad Allah. Allah has promised you. So what Allah has promised you, don't go after what Allah has promised you, rather to fulfill the criteria which if you will do, Allah will give you that promise, whatever He has promised for us. For example, you have a child, and this, or you have a son of yours, and he's studying at university, or he's at college or whatever. You say to him that if you come back with the highest grade, I'll buy you an M3. Alright? You say that. You say, you buy him an M3. Alright? Now, you said that to him in the beginning of the year. He has two options. One option is that he works on his grades. He continues and he perseveres in order to get those grades. And if he will do that, what happens? He will get the M3. And the other is that he goes after that which he is promised. So instead of spending this entire year studying and trying to hire his grades, he goes to every car dealership and he goes to every BMW dealership and he goes and he says, okay, so I'd like it in red. Right? And I'd also like the seats to be, you know, Nappa leather, and it should be in this color. And he goes, no, I don't like these alloys. Maybe it should be 22-inch. And it just goes around. And his entire year he passes going from one dealership to the other dealership, running after the maw'ud. This is what we're talking about. Running after what has been promised to you, rather than fulfilling the criteria. At the end of the year, what happens? He doesn't get either. He doesn't get his grade, and then he doesn't get an M32. Not even a micra. Not even a micra. So my respected elders, that is what Allah has promised us, that dominance. One is to demand the dominance, and one is to fulfill the criteria which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and that is iman and a'malu saliha, and continue and persevering, and then and not being shy over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, not being embarrassed over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, continue in that way, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that which He has promised us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. And this verse here, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi writes that this verse is not only for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, neither is it only for, he said there was a sect of people who said that this verse is got to do with the end of time, when the Mahdi will come. He said, no, this verse is not only for the Mahdi, but it is for every nation and every group and every community who get together and who decide that we're going to continue doing iman and amal salihah. Allah from time to time will show you that. Allah from time to time will show us such circumstances that my respected elders and brothers, what Allah has promised us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the dominance of that deen, as well as our deen will become firm within us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating these few verses that has been recited. Tomorrow inshallah we'll be reciting the last part of the 19th juz and the entire 20th juz inshallah. So brothers, just look at the last, and actually the last verse of the 19th juz, I just checked that.